Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReynolds.com/knee for more information and to sign up today.
On this episode of the Ask Mike Reynolds Show, we talk about how to avoid and manage PT burnout, something that's pretty common in our field.
The Ask Mike Reynolds Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reynolds Show. I am up at Champion PT and Performance in Boston, Massachusetts. Dan Pope, Mike Scuduto, Dave Tilley, Lenny Macrina, all here answering your questions, PT, fitness, sports performance, anything you want to talk about. Head to my website, MikeReynolds.com, click on that podcast link, and there's a form to ask us more great questions. Lenny, take it away with the introductions of the students.
We have some amazing students going on right now. Amazing. We have Janice Conkle from New York Medical College Center.
Can I get it right?
Physical therapy. I always get that wrong. College. What's the C stand for?
College.
We have Leanne Colon from Texas Women's University, a sister school of Texas A&M that is not just a sister school anymore because they not allow guys in. And we have Cameron MacDonald, old MacDonald. He is from the University of Rhode Island, Rams. Take it away, Mike.
I think Leanne got a little French.
Got on.
Oh, good stuff. Thank you, everybody. That was a great episode. Now we're answering some more great questions. Who's got this one?
I got it.
Cam does.
So we have Hugh from Philly, hoping to get your take on the popular topic of PT burnout. I personally have tried changing settings, and now I'm even considering non-clinical work. Have you ever experienced burnout? And if so, do you have any tips to prevent or reverse it?
All right, Dave, you want to start this one?
So when I have issues, don't just kick my coffee.
Well, why is your coffee next to my foot? I'm 100% your fault.
Rewind the tape.
Who drinks out of them? Who has iced coffee?
I got this at the Champion Christmas party.
2017. So for those not watching the video of this, I just knocked over Dave's cup. Iced coffee in a mug that was placed next to my foot.
On the floor.
And we're very tight, trying to get on the camera.
Trying to jockey anyway. For position all
right,
the time.
So Dave, you want to repeat the question for us?
How do I manage burnout?
Dang, you got it. Nice.
So,
well, good question, Hugh, right? So PT burnout's a real thing, I think. Yeah, I'm sure Lenny's experienced. I know I've experienced it. I think Dave experienced it within the first few weeks of working. He always talks about that, right? I hope Mike hasn't experienced burnout yet. But I think this is actually a really good topic because I think this happens a lot. So, Len, you want to start? I mean, there's no way you haven't been burnt out at some point,
no,
right?
No, I mean, early on, I guess, you know, you're excited at the beginning and then you hit that, I don't know when it is, 3 to 5 years, a 7 year itch. It's day after day and you just feel, you know, when's it going to end, especially in a busy practice. Well, I'm going back to my...
Like, when's your work day going to end?
Yes. Like, in a busy practice that we were at previously, you know, it's one day after another. And so if you're just a staff PT, you know, working long days and seeing a ton of people, you're just like, all right, what can I do to mix things up? So I get it. And I think that's when you try to reinvent yourself and figure out, like, what are you getting out of this? How can you make yourself better? Because your employer oftentimes is not going to make the effort a lot. Many do, but some don't. And it's going to be up to you to try to reinvent yourself and reinvent your day, essentially. How, you know, what's the way that you can make your day a little bit more special, so to speak, or see the population that you want to see? Because if you're seeing people that's not what you want to see, that's kind of your fault, right? You're putting yourself in this position where you are in this burnout phase. So I think it's going to be up to you to really set the stage for yourself and to really figure out your niche that you want to see and make it happen. Nobody's going to do it for you necessarily.
I think that was amazing advice. So that's I was trying to think while Lenny was talking, like, what are like the reasons you could get burnt out? And I think that's an awesome one, is you're just working with people you're not passionate about.
Right.
So people are coming in and there's no passion about every person in there. You're doing the same thing over and over again. I like that. Who else wants to chat a little bit?
A bunch of things.
Yeah, were you? I mean, I don't know. I think everybody experiences some form of burnout, even if you're kind of new to some extent, all the time, right? It's not just like veterans that have been doing this for 20, 30 years. It's even the young guys. So we all experience that. So Dan, what do you have for advice for burnout?
I don't know. I think it depends on the person probably a little bit. For me, I just really like physical therapy a lot. Maybe that's just because, like, you know, my old job, I was new and seeing a lot of patients and really loving it, enjoying it. So I try to put as much as I can into every single patient, right? And part of that is it's emotionally demanding, I guess. You're putting so much into it, by the end of the day, you feel kind of beat. But the problem for me is that I would not necessarily be as good about staying on top of my notes, or some of the other like ancillary things are important. So then I get buried by that, and that's what made me really upset about my job. So it was kind of like, if I didn't have notes throughout the course of the day, I would be an extremely happy camper. But if I had a bunch of notes at the end, it would just make me feel like I need to quit my job. So I would say you probably need to have a good system in place. What I end up doing is just making sure you get your notes done at a specific time, make sure you're done by these hours. Like, you're thinking about this consistently throughout the course of the day, every day, get your notes done, make the phone calls you need to make. All the ancillary stuff that goes outside of patient care needs to be managed really well.
Yeah.
So insurance companies too. Dealing with insurance companies and those headaches and not wanting to go through visits. Fortunately, we don't have to deal with that here anymore. But I can see how, you know, you want to get somebody better and you know it's going to take so many visits, and you know, now what do you do? You know what I mean? Now the person's sitting there looking at you like, what do I do? And it's a stress for you as the PT to figure out a game plan for that person, you know?
Yeah, I think it's human nature to, you know, like, kind of put off the stuff we don't want to do or stuff we don't like doing, or stuff, actually things that take you out of your comfort level, right? You're like, ugh, I got to resubmit for insurance visits. That's going to take me 20 minutes to write a new letter or something like that. And then you put it off, and then you have a big pile in front of you, and that's pretty painful. Yeah. But Dave, what do you think, man? I know you kind of went through a little bit earlier kind of burnout phase, and the burnout's not a negative. I don't take that back.
Yeah, a rut maybe.
Yeah, I feel like you got a little, as you were trying to find yourself and what you wanted to do in this profession. Why don't you share?
Yeah, versus blaming other people, I think that I'll actually take ownership. I think along with what Dan said for sure, like the ancillary stuff, but I had like a dramatic increase in my feeling like I was in a rut when I like felt like I didn't know what to do, and I wasn't making positive results with my patients. So like I felt like I didn't have enough information, and so like people kept coming back and they weren't better. Their shoulders still hurt, their back still hurt, they weren't really happy with their care, and I felt really out of control. Like, oh, I went to school for so long, shouldn't I have the things necessary to help somebody? So when that started happening over and over, like everybody goes through one day, it just comes in waves, where like sometimes you have like three or four patients in a row that are all really not doing well, and they're complaining, or they're having a tough time, and they're not getting better, and you're kind of frustrated by that. You have other days where you feel like you knock it out of the park, and like people are coming like, oh, I feel good, things are going well, and you're kind of happy about that. So when I went into like my second year, I felt like I didn't have all the tools that I needed to like feel like I knew what I was doing, and like really be like, okay, someone has back pain, this is at least where I'm going to start. And so that made me really frustrated, which is when I went like mega nerd mode. It was probably because I was getting a little bit, you know, complacent with learning, and I was just like not having the right things to help people. So when I went back and did my SCS, which is how I met you guys, that was when I felt like I kind of got revitalized again, because I was like, all right, at least I like have a good idea of what I'm doing. And then gymnastics picked up, so that was a secondary thing. But I think a lot of it was just Gen Pop, just helping them with the basic stuff, you know?
Yeah, great answer. I mean, I, you know, other than what you guys have said, I think probably the other most common way, and maybe Lenny alluded to this a little bit, is just overload. Like, you're seeing too many patients.
Sure.
And I know for me, I got to a point where I was seeing too many patients where it impacted the quality of care I was giving,
right?
and ethically and passionately about what we do, that I had a problem with that, and I think that provided a little burnout to me. I actually don't mind being busy. I know Lenny loves being busy. Being busy gives you a different kind of energy. We like having a lot of patients around. We like it being fun. If it was one-on-one, that's more painful sometimes, right? Being one-on-one. So we like a little energy, right? But it's when it sacrifices quality of care, that's when I started getting burnout, because it was like, when you know you get busy at times and you can't get out of it, there's no slowdown. That was the big thing for me. But you know, I think the only other advice I'd add for this is if if it's not something obvious like that, so like Lenny said, your patient population isn't what you're passionate about. That's obvious. You're seeing too many people, so you're not giving the quality care. That's another obvious one. I think the other things, if it's not one of those things, is everybody hits a point earlier in their career, and I think Dave and Dan kind of said this really well, early in your career where you're like, okay, what do I do next? I'm at this like plateau. What do I want to learn next? So I think there's two phases that you can kind of conquer burnout. So earlier in your career, it's about kind of like taking yourself and kind of, you know, trying to say, what do I want to learn next? And kind of outlining a curriculum for your own personal development. Say, if you do nothing, all of a sudden it's going to be like Groundhog Day. So you got to always try to like upgrade yourself a little bit and learn a little bit more. As you get older, you can still kind of think that way, but I think then it almost shifts towards how do I stay current? And then that's, you know, reading journal articles or subscribing to services that help you kind of summarize those things. I think you put that together. I think that's my two most effective ways to prevent burnout. Earlier in your career is kind of think about like upgrading yourself, saying what new skill set or concept do I want to learn this year or this quarter or however you want to do it. And then when you're a little older and you kind of more experienced and you kind of like your skill set, it's okay, now I got to stay on top of new stuff. And I think that's how I would do it burnout. That's really, you know, that's kind of the whole purpose of like my inner circle with the people that we talk about is kind of hitting those two buckets. So that's why it really kind of hit home to me this question, because that's exactly what we're trying to do is let's stay current, but let's also kind of learn new things. And I think that's the key to burnout for me. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Mike's not burnt out. He golfs, like, you know, twice a week all year round. So I think he's pretty solid. That's your other success to do it. But
take a lot of vacations. Work-life
balance. Work-life balance. I like doing it. Great question. I really like that question a lot because PT burnout doesn't have to be a bad thing and it doesn't have to be like a severe thing, right? There's micro kind of burnout that happens all the time and it adds up. I guess I'll end this episode. I get one of the guys online that I follow. His name's Jeff Walker. He's one of kind of like the internet gurus, kind of more in like content, digital marketing type stuff. But he's also pretty good at motivating people. And just a week or two ago in his weekly blog that he puts out, he was kind of talking about, you know, people, you know, having a bad day. And I thought this was really good. There's no way he invented this. But let's say you're going through your day and you get a patient that brings you down here. They re-injure themselves or something like that. He said it really well. You can have a bad hour, but don't let that ruin the rest of your day. Don't let that bad hour turn into a bad day, turn into a bad week. And that's about us framing it and looking forward to the new people coming in after that stuff. So I thought that was actually a pretty helpful thing for us because you can have a patient ruin your day. They're a jerk to you or you know, they're re-injured and you're down because you're trying so hard to help them, that type of thing. Just remember, there's a lot of other people that are coming in next that still need you. So don't let a bad hour make it a bad day. So awesome. So great episode. I thought that was a good one. I think that's going to be impactful for a lot of people. If you have other questions like that, please go to MikeReynolds.com, click on that podcast link, and you can fill out the form to ask us questions. And be sure to head to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review it, and we'll see you on a future episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReynolds.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReynolds.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.